Under the circumstances, the elder brother of Yavanaraja, known as Prajvara, set fire to the city to please his younger brother, whose other name is Fear itself. Purport. According to the Vedic system, a dead body is set on fire, but before death there is another fire, or fever, which is called Prajvara, or Vishnujvara. Medical science verifies that when one's temperature is raised to 107 degrees, a man immediately dies. This Prajvara, or high fever at the last stage of life, places the living entity in the midst of a blazing fire. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Nilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Vandeham Shri Guru Shriyatah Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagraja Tam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha. The discussion of old age in this allegorical tale of Paranjan comes to its inevitable conclusion, namely death. Very nice subject. Transcendentalists regularly discuss death. Among materialists, discussion of death is considered inauspicious because materialists want to live happily ever after. There are so many fairy tales in the Western world which are now part of the modern Indian culture. Modern Indian children don't grow up learning about Sita and Ram, they're more likely to grow up learning about Goldilocks, Alice in Wonderland, etc. So we're all in a wonderland. This imaginary happiness. In these stories, they typically end and they all lived happily ever after. This is called an amazing illusion, because everyone can see that no one lives forever, and definitely they don't live happily. But there's an illusion spun that we shall all live happily in this material world. Therefore, materialistic people don't like to discuss death. They think it's inauspicious to discuss death. They think if you discuss death, then it's more likely to happen. But anyway, it will happen. Just like Arjuna, he was so concerned that so many soldiers would be killed, but as Krishna pointed out, well, they're going to die anyway. There's nothing that you can do, Arjuna, to stop them being killed. The transcendentalists, their attitude toward death is completely different toward that of materialists. And transcendentalists, their attitude toward life is completely different to that of materialists. The attitude toward life of materialistic people is, let us enjoy. The attitude toward death of materialistic people, well, there are different attitudes. One is to, mostly it's just to forget it, to try to forget it, or to inflict it on others, their enemies. Very inconsistent attitude we find among animal killers, that they'll be shocked and hold big conferences if there are wars to try. Then theoretically, materialistic people don't like wars, so they form the United Nations with the idea of maintaining peace in the world. But at the same time, they go on slaughtering millions of animals. in the Western world, is still a major topic of discussion was the Holocaust, as it's called, that Hitler's or the Nazi Germany's genocidal slaughter of literally millions of Jews and few gypsies and homosexuals and a few others thrown in also. Of course, they don't discuss very much the bombing of Dresden by Churchill and others, and you don't hear about that very much. Or Churchill's deliberately starving millions of Indians to death. You don't hear much about that. Churchill said that history will treat me kindly because I will write it myself, which he did. So they think this is horrible, the cold-blooded slaughter of so many humans. But they're doing it the same that they're killing literally millions of animals daily, if you include the chickens. They're also living beings. Some time ago, there was this bird flu was going around India. And so the reports came that so many lakhs of chickens have been culled in India. Culled is a polite word for killed. But if they hadn't been culled, they would have been killed anyway. It's not that the chicken farms are places where they keep the chickens very nicely and it's we love the chickens. It's not like that. They're kept in the for slaughter. How many chickens are killed a day in India? Well, if we make a conservative estimate, a very conservative estimate of one chicken killed per every 1,000 people in India per day, how much does that work out at? All you big intelligent people, use your brains now. Of course, everyone uses calculators these days. Yeah, more than 1 million a day. How about that? That's a Holocaust, isn't it? So it's an ambivalent attitude to death that we become shocked, just like this, when Mother Teresa died. The world leader said, "I am shocked." See, an old woman is not that surprising if an old woman dies. But people were shocked. Or this Donald Pearl, one American journalist, was killed in Pakistan, all over the newspaper, and daily so many people are killed in Pakistan, and daily so many people are killed in Kashmir thanks to Pakistan. At least that's the news we got on this side of the border. But one American gets killed, and big news all over the place. So this ambivalent and practically hypocritical attitude to death. But devotees, they discuss it in a different way. Here Narad Muni is discussing death. Here in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam is meant for awarding Krishna Prem. Srimad Bhagavatam is Krishna Prem in a literary form. This is the literary form of Krishna. But here in the Srimad Bhagavatam we find not only descriptions of Krishna Prem, but descriptions of the nastiness of material life. It is required to understand the nastiness of material life, otherwise one cannot be serious in Krishna consciousness. Of course, for pure devotees, they don't need to be trained in this, because the nastiness of material life for pure devotees, to them, the janma mrityu jaravyadhi, that's not, they don't see that as the main suffering, the birth, death, old age and disease. For them, material life, what seems so horrible about that, the outstandingly nasty feature of material life to pure devotees, is that people are not thinking of Krishna. What could be worse than that? People are not dedicated to Krishna. The real suffering of material life is not being conscious of Krishna. But materialistic people, because they're not conscious of Krishna, they are trying to enjoy this material world. The jiva is by nature anandamaya. He's always seeking pleasure. So if he doesn't find pleasure in Krishna, the natural source of pleasure, natural pleasure is with Krishna, then he looks for pleasure in death, in matter, which is dead. There's no reciprocation with matter. It's bizarre and absurd to try to reciprocate with matter. You cannot, just like you could buy a mannequin, this model in the shops. There's a model made from plastic or something, plaster of Paris, of a woman. That's for modeling the saris or the fashions. So you could bring one of them home and think, well, I'll make this my wife and love her. But you can dress the model very nicely and put jewelry on it and perfume, but it would be a ridiculous endeavor, because one cannot have a relationship with matter. But that is the mistake in material life, that without understanding the science of the or the nature of the soul, people try to relate, instead of via the soul, soul to soul, they try to relate body to body. They mistake themselves, I am this body. Aham dehasmi. I am this body. And they see others' bodies as other complete entities, or entities on the same level as themselves. They know that they're alive. They know there's a difference between a living body and a mannequin. But they don't recognize, they don't even think of what is the difference actually. Just like Srila Prabhupada, when he was lecturing at the MIT, Massachusetts Institute of Technology, of which the IITs throughout India are a reflection, perverted reflection, copy, something like that. So Srila Prabhupada is lecturing there, the most prestigious, I don't know if it still is, but was considered the most prestigious Shudra University, technological university in the world. Technology means Shudra. Engineer means educated Shudra. That's all. So, very prestigious institution among the Shudras. As Srila Prabhupada said that at this institution, there are so many departments, but there is no department which studies what is the difference between a living body and a dead body. Which actually, if you think about it, that's the problem, no one thinks about it. It's actually the subject that's the most important subject, isn't it? Isn't it what we should all be thinking about? That we all have to die, we don't want to die. We all have to get diseased, we don't want to get diseased. We all have to suffer birth, death, old age and disease. We don't want to. So the materialist solution to this problem is, don't think about it. Just enjoy life while you can. Anyway, you have to die, but as I was pointing out once on a train journey to some people, I saw one man was reading a religious book, so I started talking to him, but some Vedanta Sutra or something like some highly philosophical, supposed to be highly philosophical. But the group of people I spoke to, they're very materialistic. And I pointed out to them, actually, we all have to die. wait, we should think about this. No, we shouldn't talk about that. We should enjoy life. And they were protesting. We shouldn't talk about it. We shouldn't think about that. That's natural, but we shouldn't think about it. Oh, we should think about it. This is Narad Muni is making or bringing Maharaj Prachina Barhishat to the point of thinking about what he's doing at a more than superficial level. In this world, we have a sense of right and wrong. There are laws, you should follow them, and justice, corruption, these are all issues. What is right and what is wrong? So people, they have some sense of duty, of what is right and what is wrong, and how they should behave toward others. You shouldn't just walk up to someone and spit in their face because you like to do so. We should be considerate of others. So there's some idea of culture and proper behavior, but this is superficial unless we consider the actual issues of life. As Rishabhdev states that Parabhavastavada bodha jata yavanna jignyasata atma tattvam. One is always defeated as long as one does not inquire into the nature of the atma. Whatever else we do, everything is defeated, everything is crushed by time, everything is destroyed. Everything which we consider important, all our plans, our hopes, our aspirations, our family members, our societies, our countries, everything is destroyed. Here in this verse it's described how the body is described by a terrible fire, that one feels fire within the body, heat within the body, and then there's death. That's at the individual level. But the whole universe, there will come a time when whatever, the United Nations are meeting and discussing this and discussing that, and there will come a time when the whole universe will simply burn. And then there will be no discussion of my land, your land, and human rights. It'll just, everything will be burned up. Then what is the value of anything we may think? And that's what we should think. That's why these facts are recounted in the Srimad Bhagavatam. These are the facts of material life. It is not nice. Not only is it not nice, but it's not meaningful in any true sense. That we may think, well, alright, it's natural, we have to die, but let us enjoy ourselves while we can, which was the remarkably adolescent philosophy of these people I met on the train. It's supposed to be intelligent people. Let us enjoy life while we can. Which is, after all, if you think about it, the dog's philosophy. I mean, the dog doesn't really have a philosophy. But if you could, maybe the psychologists will at some time analyze. Well, they do. They analyze the psychology of dogs, Pavlov's dogs, and they project dog behavior onto human behavior. So, if the dog got up to the level sometime of going beyond slavering at the thought of food, then if we could write out the philosophy of a true dedicated dog, then his philosophy would be yavat jivet sukham jivet. As long as you live, be happy. Not by eating ghee. Dogs don't like ghee. They like dead bodies. About 3 or 4 days ago in Dwaraka, here's a nice little incident to entertain you all, give you some semi-transcendental entertainment. I was in Dwaraka, walking back from Dwarakadish temple to the hotel in which I was staying. when I noticed on the other side of the road, there were two dogs, of which one had got the prize and the other was watching, sadly. The prize was a young pig, no bigger than this, somehow had died. And the dog, who was bigger and stronger than the other dog, who could only watch, was ripping out the insides of the pig and eating them. What a nice story. Not very nice. But this is the nastiness of material life. This is the reality of material life. And materialists, they fear this. They don't like to discuss it. Materialists, they don't like to discuss death in this way. They'll discuss it in, they'll put an illusory spin on death, and then they will consider it. Just like computer games or movies, there are so many deaths. But people, it's not like they experience that or consider that, but they know that it's, death is a powerful sensation. I mean, no movie is complete without at least one or two murders. It's a very powerful motive. We've heard that the average American child, by the time they're 10 years old, they've seen 10,000 deaths or something on the TV. So it's a common motive. It's a very powerful, what shall we say, phenomenon. It's a major change. Krishna, as we know, says in Bhagavad Gita, Dehino Svinyata Dehe. Kaumarang Yovanang Jara Tata Dehantara Praptihi. Krishna points out that Arjuna is lamenting that so many people are going to get killed. And of course, Arjuna himself had killed so many people before that. And he didn't particularly lament. There were how many? 20,000 Nivata Kavachas. He killed them all one time. We're not blaming Arjuna because he's glorious for doing so. But at the time of killing others, he didn't consider that, well, they all had wives and children and sons and brothers who lamented for them. Now he was in front of his, what is that, Matula, Brata, Guru, Shala, there's so many relatives and friends, and he was feeling, oh, how horrible. That they all have to die. He's feeling the pain of that. They would all have to die. So, Krishna pointed out that death, if considered in a detached manner, it's just another change. We change from boyhood to youth to old age, and death is another change. And therefore, dhiras tatra na muhyati. A sober person is not bewildered by such a change because he sees it's just another change. Death, well, you just go to another body, that's all. It's done it millions of times and we'll continue to do it millions of times until we realize that we're not meant to die, we're meant to be with Krishna. But despite Krishna pointing this out, death, it's definitely a more drastic and dramatic change than changing from boyhood to youth. One thing is that, yeah, it's drastic. A change from boyhood to youth, that is a gradual change. We don't notice it. It's, the body is changing at every moment. So that's one reason that we're not so disturbed by it. Another reason is that it's not a change of identity. It's not such a total change of identity. The person identified with the body in childhood is the same as the person identified with in youth and then again in old age. But death is drastic. That's it. It's finished. Whatever else one may have, whatever plans there may be for that person or based on that person, they're all finished. It's total. At least in terms of the body. There will no longer be that person who dies. They'll no longer have a relationship with the wife, with the children. It's whatever role, whatever persona he assumed is finished. It's total, drastic, absolute. So therefore, death is considered inauspicious by materialistic people. It's too drastic and too horrible for them to think about because they identify with the body. For them, this is existence. And death, for them, is like entering a state of non-existence. But dhiras tatrana muhyati. An enlightened person, is not disturbed by this. Because he knows the science of the self. Therefore, here in Srimad Bhagavatam, that is taught as a necessary preliminary to understanding higher spiritual knowledge, the nature of the soul in the liberated state. As long as one is attached to the material state, one cannot properly understand or dedicate oneself to the liberated state. That's why we find Srila Prabhupada, unlike most Vaishnava speakers, he didn't generally elaborate in his speeches or in his writings on the pastimes of Krishna or Rama. He didn't tell stories very much. He didn't give Leela Katha. In fact, when he was requested to on occasion, he bluntly refused to do so. When he was asked to speak on Ras Leela, by a very important person, the chief judge in Madras, Srila Prabhupada, he spoke about the qualifications of the speakers and the hearers, and the would-be hearers insisted that they were qualified to hear. And Prabhupada said, "I am not qualified to speak." Who could be more qualified than Srila Prabhupada? But as an actual guru, he spoke what people needed to hear rather than what they wanted to hear, knowing that without a proper understanding of Atma-tattva, of the nature of the soul, without detachment, at least preliminary detachment, from everything material, that people would misunderstand Krishna's pastimes as something to be heard for their own enjoyment. Shukadev Goswami, his first words, when he speaks to Parikshit Maharaj, Shukadev speaks about the necessity of understanding Atma-tattva. He speaks of the apashyatam Atma-tattvam griheshu grihamedinam. Persons who are attached to home life, they do not see Atma-tattva. They do not have knowledge of the soul. Even if they may discuss it, which is, they generally don't like to, but even if superficially they discuss it, to make that leap into spiritual life means to leave behind one's faith in all that is material. There's a saying in English, the leap of faith. People ask us, well, how do you know there's really a God? How do you know there's really Krishna? How do you know? We may think, well, how do I know? I don't know, but I do know that here's my mother, here's my father, here's some food. This is reality. It seems to be reality. It's palpable. means you can touch it, feel it, smell it, hear it. We can directly experience everything that is material. That is called pratyaksha. But if one is more subtle, if one thinks more deeply, you can see that this pratyaksha, it doesn't give us actual knowledge of the nature of reality. It doesn't satisfy us, even though it would seem that we should be satisfied. If we desire money, clothes, respect, beautiful women, we desire all these things, but we see the people who get these things are not satisfied, and then they have to die. So, if we think a little more deeply, reality, if reality is simply what is immediately within the scope of our senses, it doesn't seem to make any sense. Is there not more than this? So, to inquire beyond, to search beyond the world of birth and death, is the transcendental search. But to do so, it requires faith that there is more to reality than simply this eating, sleeping, mating and defending, birth, death, old age and disease. There must be more to reality than this. So that requires faith, not blind faith. Therefore, in Srimad Bhagavatam, these topics are discussed in detail. The nature of reality beyond the material. The topics are discussed, and those topics are discussed by dhira, sober people. Sober people. Why are they sober? Because they are tattva-darshi. They can see what we don't see. We don't see Krishna because we see Maya. Krishna Surya-sama. Krishna is just like the sun. Why can we not see the sun? Because Maya hoy andhaka jaha Krishna taha nahi Maya radhika. If we're looking at Maya, if we're standing in the darkness, if we shield ourselves from the sun, then we can't see the sun. No one out in the daytime, no one will put up a torch or a floodlight to see the sun. The sun is self-manifest. Everyone can see, but we don't see because we are like owls who close their eyes in the daytime. They don't like to see. So Srimad Bhagavatam is that knowledge by which we can actually see. Srimad Bhagavatam gives the knowledge by which we can see beyond the superficiality of material life, beyond the superficiality of trying to enjoy the senses, beyond the superficiality of punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam, being born again, dying again, born again, dying again. Srimad Bhagavatam brings us to the platform of ultimate reality, which surprisingly, for those who are dedicated to the analytical process, surprisingly, reality happens to be a young boy with no shoes on running around behind some cows. Now, that doesn't sound like a very philosophical statement. It isn't. It's a purely transcendental spiritual statement about Krishna, who is not understandable simply by exerting one's brain power and logical capacity. The Srimad Bhagavatam gives a description of the horrors of the material world. Now, horror movies are becoming popular in India. Well, there's a horror movie going on. Everyone's the star. You are the star in your own horror movie. It's horrible. For the materialist, it's horrible. This body, which they think, oh, so nice. They like to be in front of the mirror, comb their hair, look at themselves, and wonderful. How nice. And then gradually they see it rot all around them. Lines come on the face. Teeth start to rot. And actually the whole... old age means that the body is rotting. That's actually what it means. And it becomes dysfunctional. So the medium by which one aspires to enjoy this material world, I want to enjoy. But the body becomes not only incapable of enjoyment, but it starts to give pain at every moment. It's a horror movie. Not for the devotee. The devotee's attitude to death is completely different. The devotee welcomes that now, yes, Krishna is teaching me that now I have to be serious. We don't have much time, but really I don't have much time left. I have to be serious. Chant Hare Krishna. Do my service to Krishna and prepare for that inevitable moment of death. For a devotee, Srila Prabhupada said, death is like going to sleep, and when you wake up, you're with Krishna in the spiritual world. But we have to prepare ourselves for that. As long as we're trying to enjoy this material world, as long as we think that this material world is enjoyable, then we'll wake up in another womb. Punarapi janani jathare shayanam. Oh no, I blew it again. How many times am I going to do that? And then pray to Krishna. Krishna, when I come out this time, I'll worship you for sure. And then come out and goo goo gaga and forget Krishna. And then get kicked and smashed by Maya. And then, come in contact with a bona fide guru. Brahmanda Brahmite Kono Bhagyavan Jeev. Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Beej. Again, I got the Bhakti Lata Beej. But we don't properly water it. So the creeper goes up a little bit. And then we think, well, maybe the material world is not that bad. I mean, it's probably an exaggeration. And anyway, I've got plenty of time. And anyway, I chanted Hare Krishna a lot. So Krishna is very kind. And Krishna will surely deliver me. And after all, the girl next door, she seems to like me. And alright, well, my mother wants me to get married. And got a good job. And I think that I'll be Krishna conscious a little later. And then again, a little time later, we find ourselves in the womb of a mother, and the worms are biting, and we pray to Krishna, and yeah, it's a boring movie, actually. It's a horror movie, but the script doesn't change much. Seen it already. Too many times. So better get out into the real Leela. That's what Narad Muni wants to convey through this allegorical story, which is a real story. Prachina Bahishat thinking, very interesting story. Who is that person anyway? It's you, sir. It's you. Hare Krishna. So we're all on the path to death. Some years ago I was in some small program in London, in England. And someone was, you know, giving a few shots and trying to show how what I said was wrong, what I'd spoken about was wrong. So I pointed out to him, I said to him, excuse me, sir, please try to understand, you're going to die soon. And everyone thought that was a terrible thing that I said. Said, how could you say such a thing? Like it was like I was pronouncing a curse. I said, well, it's just a fact. You're going to die soon. But he's quite young. Still, you're going to die soon. And it's just like, these are people who are supposed to be devotees. And it just couldn't register with them. I don't know, we're young, it's not going to be soon. And why talk about it? These are facts. Unpleasant for those who don't want to face them, but it's a fact. And when I look at Gyanagamya Prabhu's white hair and the lines on his face, if I look in a mirror and look at the lines on my own face, then I can understand Krishna is very merciful. We don't have much time. And when I look at the young men, the little children, I see the burning ground. Just look a little in advance. The burning ground is waiting for them. So it's good to know we're not the body. We are the soul. Our relationship is with Krishna. But we have to do in this life what is required so that we don't come back again. Labdva sudurlabham idam bahu sambhavante manusham arthadam anityam apihadhira turnam yateta napate danumritya yavan nisrayasa vishaya khalu sarvatasyat. Everyone should learn this verse. Very important verse. Krishna tells Uddhava that this human life is very rare, but now, whoever we may be talking to, you have got it. It won't last long. But it's very important. Because in human life we can achieve that which is not attainable in other lives. We have the intelligence to consider what to do with this life and to act in a manner in this life so that after the next death, which is of course inevitable, we don't get born again. This should be propagated. Krishna adds to this that if we think, well, what about enjoying myself? Krishna says, well, that's available in every form of life. Can do that in any, already done it, and can do it again in future, but that so-called enjoyment is our enemy because it distracts us from the real purpose. So, a learnable verse. Everyone should learn this. Labdvasu durlabham idang bahu sambhavante. You can find that in the 11th canto of Bhagavatam. Any comments, questions, protests? You're all going to die soon. My blessing. People come to me for blessings. My blessing is, you're going to die soon. It's not my blessing, it's just a fact.
Thanks a lot for the excellent lecture. Maharaj, you explained that there's a lot of persons just like the engineers and doctors.
Like I didn't mention doctors. You weren't listening carefully.
They are educated in sutras. Reading that, we went for the Bhogi system, we are distributing books from Mumbai to the there. So, we got by the TC. TC and Railway Police. Later on, you are getting the tickets only for the traveling, not for the distributing books. So, we have some arguments. So, for that, he was chanting. One devotee was, he was chanting loudly. He told him, what the hell you are doing? What is this boy who is chanting? Stop this chanting. That fellow called, I can't stop. So that fool is asking, what you give you understanding? I told you are a thief. Oh, how you give a taste of banana? It's very difficult. We're taking banana. If you give some banana to thief, oh, what the taste you get? So he immediately told. So we should bless that all the parents, those who are giving their children proper education, became doctors and engineers, they can earn more than 60,000, 70,000 per month. So if people are foolish people, they are big actors and distributing books. I told, see, whatever money they are earning, they left after they whenever they leave their body, they did all the things. He told them, who knows that some suffering after death will happen. So in that case, what was
Well, I wouldn't have even gotten into a big argument with the TT. It's better just to, just as a technique, it's better just to flatter them and be nice. There's no use to try and convince a TTE on the spot to become a pure devotee of Krishna. Just, you know, avoid him or flatter him and get on with your job of distributing books. What do you say to people who say that... What is it? How can you know?
Suffering. After the death, suffering will be there. He told that,
How can you know? Well, I discussed that to some extent in the class, didn't I? But that's why we don't generally try to give philosophical lectures on the train from Bombay to Pune. Because it requires a certain mentality to even enter into that discussion. If people are willing to listen, then we can start to discuss with them. Can you remember in my excellent class, as you said, that I discussed briefly about why we should inquire into the nature of reality beyond that which is immediately perceivable, beyond pratyaksha? There is a good intelligent case for inquiring into the nature of reality beyond that which is immediately perceivable, because by nature we are pleasure seeking creatures. But if we neutrally or objectively analyze, we can find that this mature world is full of suffering, which suggests that our endeavor for happiness is misdirected, which suggests that the happiness derived from sense enjoyment is not the actual happiness which we seek. Apart from that, there have been highly influential, intelligent persons of extraordinarily high character throughout history who have spoken of the nature of reality beyond that which is materially perceivable. Persons like Krishna. Well, some people may say he's not of such high character. But then we have Shankaracharya, Madhvacharya, Ramanujacharya, Jesus Christ, who all spoke, for instance, Buddhadev, who all spoke, well, Buddhadev didn't speak of a reality beyond material existence. But anyway, they all spoke of the temporality of material life and of the need to come to a higher consciousness to understand that which is beyond mere sense indulgence. So there is a very good case, even objectively speaking, for considering the reality beyond what is immediately perceived as reality. Ultimately, that is Shastra Yonidvat. That can be understood from Shastra. If you say proof, well, you're not going to bring a Bunsen burner and a test tube and some microscope and prove the existence of the soul, because the Atma by nature, by definition, is non-material, so there's no material way to prove. But, I mean, if you want to have a philosophical discussion, these can be discussed. I mean, in any so-called proof, anyone can object. What is the proof? that water boils at 100 degrees Celsius. Well, you can bring some water and put it in a flask, boil it, put in a thermometer, and then someone may say, well, how do I know it's an actual thermometer? Maybe you rigged it. And then you have to prove that it's a genuine thermometer. Ultimately, at some point, there has to be some faith in something. So, it's faith in reality beyond birth and death is an intelligent faith. If one has more intelligence than the average TTE to consider it. Generally on book distribution, we don't try to get into complex discussions, although naturally they will arise. In that case, I would just say, well, look, sir, many of the most intelligent people in history, including Vyasadeva, have supported this, so it's at least worth looking into. I wouldn't go beyond that. You know, everyone in India thinks they're a philosopher, not only India, everywhere. Everyone thinks they're a big philosopher, but book distribution means we try to get the books out. Let Prabhupada's books go to them. Yeah, any other question? Yeah. Yeah, speak it. I suppose we're supposed to stop. Is Sunday supposed to be a little longer? Or anyone's free to walk out if they're sufficiently satiated by now? Yeah. Who? Sorry? Mahattama. Biggest of the big. Greatest of the great.
Maharaj, you mentioned that if we are not looking at Krishna, you are looking at Maya. How do we discriminate? If it is Krishna, sometimes it says that Krishna is sending something. Hard to understand it is Maya. Sometimes very comfortable things comes to our life, everything is all so easy.
How do we know what is Krishna and what is Maya? Well, if we have the vision, we can see Krishna everywhere. And if we don't have the vision to see Krishna, even if we see Krishna, we'll see Maya. There are many people who think that Krishna is Maya. They think that no person such as Krishna ever existed. Or if he did exist, he was immoral. Or they see Krishna as the object of their sense enjoyment. So, better not to have faith in our own judgment. We learn about Krishna from Shastra. And we follow the process of Bhakti Yoga by which Krishna reveals Himself to us. What is that verse? Yadaditya gato teja. What is that verse? Oh, Hare Krishna. Yadaditya gato teja. Jagad. Oh, no, no. No, that's another verse. Prakashyati tatparam. Anyway, I can't think of it now, but the Krishna says that knowledge is revealed, just like when the sun rises, you can see everything. It's not yadaditya gato tejam, that's another verse. Prakashyati tatparam. That's the. Look that up. Gyeyo. Couldn't find it. All right, there's another question.
Hare Krishna. Is there a old age comes to all and it is
here? Yeah, it's come to you too.
Yeah, I am already old.
Yeah. Don't worry, you'll be young again soon.
And it is fearful.
It's fearful. Well, theoretically, it shouldn't be fearful. If we're advanced in spiritual consciousness, we should not feel fear.
Is there a way by which a devotee can quit his body, remembering Krishna, without waiting for old age?
Is there a way you can quit your body remembering Krishna without waiting for old age? That's not a good question to ask, actually. one should accept what Krishna sends. Old age is sent by Krishna. We shouldn't try to circumvent that. There's a city in Britain called Liverpool. It's a famous city, in which actually people like us a lot, because the Beatles come from there and George Harrison likes Hare Krishna, so they like us. So anyway, one of our devotees was distributing books there in the walking street, and a policeman came up to him and said, you can distribute these books, that's okay, but don't distribute that book, that Science of Self-Realization. He said, well, why not? And the policeman explained that there's a chapter there in that book called The Art of Dying. Should send that to that Sri Sri rascal. The Art of Dying. So it describes how one has to die remembering Krishna. So recently in Liverpool, in one of the high-rise apartment buildings, someone had jumped out. Suicide. And in the apartment was the Science of Self-Realization open on that chapter. So this person thought that we have to die remembering Krishna. So, okay, I'll commit suicide and remember Krishna as I do it. So the idea that let us die circumventing the pain of old age, let us die remembering Krishna, that is not a good proposal. We should accept what Krishna gives. You're already well into it, so the worst is yet to come. I can joke. I'm just on the threshold of that painful time. But a devotee accepts everything that Krishna sends as Krishna's mercy. So when there's pain, old age, suffering in so many forms, a devotee who's actually understood the message of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam takes that as Krishna's mercy. Srila Prabhupada, in his family life, was doing business to support his family, and he wanted to generate money so that he could use that for preaching. And then he got news one day that his trusted servant had plundered everything. His business was finished. Srila Prabhupada recited from Bhagavatam, Yasyaham anugrahinami harishe taddhanang shanai. Krishna says that to whom I show mercy, I gradually take away all their wealth. Of course, in this case, Krishna took it all away, just like that. So that requires transcendental consciousness, doesn't it? Did you get that? Prakasha yati yat param? Jnanena tutada jnanam yesham nashitam atmanaha tesham aditya vaj jnanam prakasha yati tat param. When one is enlightened by the knowledge which destroys ignorance, then one can see everything. Just like when the sun rises, one can see everything. Yes. Hare Krishna.
In Mahabharata, Bhishma, when he is on the deathbed.
He's on his deathbed. Bhishma is on his deathbed. He just left Makar Sankranti. He just. Just left. Yeah.
When he was on the arrows.
Yeah. Can we reach the level of being able to lie on a bed of arrows for a month? Well, why do you want to do that? The real thing that Bhishma did was that he saw Krishna at the time of death. That's what we should aspire for. That, definitely. That's what the whole Bhagavatam is for. We can. By the mercy of Bhishma Dev and all the great devotees, Bhishma went through, I mean, that was suffering, isn't it? To lie on a bed. Who could do that, even for one moment? But Bhishma voluntarily lay on a bed of arrows. Not just was he lying on them, but the arrows stuck on his whole body, but he voluntarily tolerated that. One thing, he did the great service of instructing Yudhishthira, and he saw Krishna at the time of his death. He wanted that. So Bhishma went through so much suffering, Prahlad went through so much, the Pandavas, they show the example for us that we all have to go through suffering. None of us will, it's not likely that any of us will go through such difficulty as the Pandavas, Prahlad or Bhishma, but they show the example of how in the great difficulty one can still remember Krishna and be blissful and attain the highest goal of life, which is why we discuss these topics. Better we worship Bhishma, and by his mercy we can cross over all difficulties. Then? Finish? No? Alright.
See that many times the devotees take the process of hearing about the soul and acting and culture and Krishna consciousness in relation to Krishna. And then they slip back.
Yeah, this is a frequently asked question. People take to Krishna consciousness and they slip back, they compromise. How to revive our Krishna consciousness? Well, it often... let me answer that question first, which I pose. If someone's slipping away, they've been in Krishna consciousness, often Krishna arranges for such persons to have many difficulties and they may get, for instance, cancer, just as an example. And when they get some, terminal disease, then it often happens that people think, oh, Krishna, yeah, I remember I was worshipping Krishna, I better worship Krishna again. So Krishna often manifests to people who are not very serious in the form of cancer, for instance. And how to encourage people who are compromised, who were previously practicing seriously? You can try, but it's not that easy because, as Srila Prabhupada gave the example, it's like trying to wake up someone who's pretending to be asleep. Anyway, you can speak to them strongly. Tell them. You're going to die soon. You better chant Hare Krishna. Don't expect to be popular. So that's it. All finished. Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.